Hello everyone, I'm your Tilika Kumar, the host of Selekha Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to inspire and empower women to pursue an excellent sales career by filling the gender gap, to live to the fullest of her potential and to achieve financial independence. I will be interviewing amazing successful women sales leaders and entrepreneurs from India and around the globe, where we discuss their sales journey, their challenges, their wins, and much more. Let's dive in. So, hello all. I'm very much excited to invite Julia to our show. She's serving as a president, Northern Regional President for the NAWSP. That means National Association for Women Sales Professionals in Northwest. And she performs sales coach, sold over $250 million. That is amazing. And she works over two decades as a top-tier performance in corporate financial services. And her mission is to enhance the performance of women in sales and to up-level their sales, women in sales. She works with entrepreneurs and B2B sales, mainly to strengthen their vulnerability and also focus on mindset. I also believe mindset is very important to, you know, to really do a great sales. And the major part is her passion is to help women in sales. I'm sure many women here, the audience, they love this. That's why I brought her, because she's so much keen to help many women as well as in India. So welcome to the show, Julia.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and contribute and provide value to women that are listening to your to this program, and provide as much value as we can. So thank you for inviting me.
So first question is, just tell about yourself, how this sales journey has started. Is there any challenges you face being a woman?
Yes. So let's go ahead and just get real. You know, sales, when I first got into sales, it wasn't that I was seeking, you know, being in sales. I've been in sales for 25 years. So it's been a long time. But when I first got into sales, it was really to help my mom. We moved from Mexico. Spanish is my first language. English is my second language. So we moved from one country to the United States, and I needed to help my family, my mom, you know, feed all of us, which are five kids. So, you know, big family. And I, you know, I still had to go to school full time. So I needed to find something that could help me. And I remember, you know, looking up, you know, to become a salesperson, to really make as much as you want. So I was naive, but at the same time, I needed to get something that would pay me as much as I could, you know, believing that. And a couple of days afterwards, I became a salesperson. I was selling knives, you know, kitchen knives door to door.
Okay.
And I learned, you know, it was the first thing. So you asked, you know, what are the challenges? So the first thing is, it's my very first job. The second thing is, I don't speak the language very well. So I was reading a script, you know, word for word. So the person, when they opened the door, would hear my presentation, and I had to learn how to connect really quickly so they didn't slam the door in my face. There were so many lessons that I learned from selling door to door, which was very hard. It wasn't easy, but one of the biggest lessons that I learned was to connect with people really quickly, to make sure that we found something. You know, when I would walk up to their house, I would look at, do I see toys, you know, around the house? Do I hear a dog? Can I connect really quickly with them on their children, on their pets? And then from there, if they open their door and they invite me in, what else around can I connect through? A sport, you know, something. So connection was really the first thing that I learned, and that I still use it to this day, because people want to connect with other people. So that was super important. Another big lesson that I learned that benefits everybody on this call is the concept of qualifying the clients that you're talking to. You know, sometimes you have a product, a service that it's a great service. It can benefit a lot of people, but maybe they cannot afford it. Not everybody can afford it, or not everybody needs it. So when I was going out and selling knives, these were very expensive, $2,000, $3,000. So not a lot of people can buy those sets. So I had to be very specific in the areas of town that I would go, because I wasn't selling anything. I was like, what's wrong? I'm not selling. And my presentation was not the problem, because I was reading it. Everybody was saying the same thing. It was where I was going to show. So qualifying your clients, making sure they can afford it is super important. Making sure that they have a need for it is super important. And then from there, I sold the set to somebody that worked in a big financial company that offered me a job. And that's how I started moving into the financial services space and selling, you know, at a different capacity. But the challenges really were making sure that the fact that I didn't speak the language stopped me from actually moving forward. And I think that when you have a lot of necessity, like I needed to sell to help my mom, you know, buy groceries. I didn't think of how I sounded. I didn't think if I looked funny or ridiculous or that I didn't sound perfect. All I knew is that I needed to support my family. So that gave me a lot of focus into what I needed to achieve. So that was my first experience in sales.
Oh my gosh. That's really great that you really want to help your family. That's why you came into sales. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And started as a B2C first, right?
Yeah. So it was business to consumer. So because I was going directly to the B2C, which is business to consumer. And that brought me, I wasn't in B2C for a long time until I was in B2B. But I think it really brought me to, it was such a fantastic experience because I got to sell directly to the consumer, to the person that was going to use the product. And if there was anything that I needed to give feedback, you know, I wasn't assuming what was wrong or what was good. I was hearing it directly from the consumer, the actual person using it. So I thought that that was an incredible piece of schooling in my sales career, working directly with the consumer. I thought it was a fantastic way for me to understand that in sales, it's not just creating the product or a service, but what is the consumer saying about it? How are they experiencing it? Do they need to tweak it? Do they need to change it? And that was incredible in the fact that it allowed me to see either if I was working for a company that people loved their product or if I was being told that the product was good, but the actual consumer didn't like it or was feeling like it could be improved. So it was very important that I got that piece in my sales trajectory.
But have you felt any differentiation between a male and a female, or it's the same?
When I'm selling to males and females?
Yeah. Oh, like they treated you. Is it different or is it the same?
So that's good. So the question is, did men treat me different than women? So when I was very young. So I started selling at 17 years old. And so when I first started, I think that the being young, sometimes I wasn't taken seriously. And one of the things that was super important for me was to be very, very, very knowledgeable. Not only about my product, but about the struggles and the challenges that my consumer or my client would have. So that when we were having a conversation and they didn't take me seriously, they knew that I actually understood their business or their struggles or how to make their business or life better, because I would take any piece of information and not only understand the client and understand your product, but understand the market. Who's my competitor? What is something else that is out there that I don't have in terms of the service that I'm providing? And how can I get ahead of it so that I talk about it in a way that benefits also not only the client, but the sale that I'm about to make? So yes, there was a struggle at the beginning when I looked really young and I understood that I had to work harder than anybody else. You know, I was not only a woman, but a Latin woman from Mexico. It wasn't always a negative, but I did see times when they didn't want to talk to me. They wanted to talk to a man. because they thought that they were the ones that would know. But I was very, very persistent. I'll tell you a story. I was told one time when I had a meeting that the only reason that I got that meeting, the person told me, was because I didn't take no for an answer. Like, they told me no 5 different ways, and I said I had solutions for the no's 5 different ways, and they said that they were just super intrigued because I wouldn't take no for an answer. So I thought, okay, so that gets me somewhere. But I think it's important to just know why you're doing it so that you don't get distracted by the people that don't want to see you succeed.
Agree.
That makes sense.
Yeah, very much. Mm-hmm. Yes. Want to know, like, I want 3 best selling skills which you can tell others who are watching.
Okay. So three things that have worked really, really well for me. And of course, there's a lot of different things. But the 3 that come to mind for me, the first one is resilience. I'm gonna unpack it. I'm gonna give you a description. So for example, I just shared, you know, somebody saying 5 ways said no, and I kept on going. You're gonna experience a lot of rejection. You're gonna experience more no's than you're gonna experience yes. So if you let those things distract you, then sales is gonna be very hard. Sales is an incredibly rewarding career. You can make a lot of money. You meet a lot of people. It can be very fun. But if you allow the negative piece of it to derail your focus, then you're going to have a very, very, very painful experience. So making sure that you are super, super incredibly solid around your goals and why, and it's going to give you, you know, the power to continue to move forward. So resiliency is very important. Your mindset is part of that resiliency to, you know, Cynthia Barnes, who's the founder of the National Association of Women Sales Professionals, would say, you know, what's your bounce back ability? So you have to have that ability if you have a setback to move forward, because it's not a question if you're going to have setbacks, you're going to have them. The matter is how fast you bounce back from them. How fast do you continue to move forward? And it happens. It doesn't matter what industry you're in sales. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman in sales. This is the people that continue to move forward are the people that just look at that as a learning opportunity, and they just keep going to, you know, to what they need to continue on to achieve their goals. So resiliency is number one.
Okay.
Number two, I believe, you know, being happy, having a positive outlook on life it's not just important, it's a requirement in sales. Because so I'll give you some stats. There's a book that I really love and I recommend called the Happiness Advantage. And there's a stat in there that says that positive salespeople outperform pessimistic salespeople by 56%.
Oh my God.
56%. That's a lot of people. That's huge. So it pays to be positive. It pays to look at things from a positive standpoint. I mean, I'm not just saying think positive thoughts and things will be okay. You need to make positive, you know, take positive action to move things along. But if you're focusing on the positive things that are happening to you and you're being grateful for the little wins, if you have little wins or big wins, then that's going to continue to move you forward. Because if you focus on the negative, all you see is negativity around you. So it's very important to be selective on the things that you're allowing your thoughts to ruminate on. So resilience, having a positive outlook is super important. And the third is, you know, be an expert in your field. Be disciplined around your marketplace. You know, what's happening? Be a student about continuing to learn in your industry. So you're in sales, achieve to be a trusted advisor by the people that buy from you. You know, try to bring things to them that they might not be aware of. What are the changes in the market that are going to affect them directly? Maybe they're not thinking about it in that moment, but it's going to be having a ripple effect If there's some changes in the economy that are gonna affect their clients, and therefore they're gonna need you, you know, make sure that you're staying abreast to what's happening around you, not just on your product knowledge and not just on what they need to succeed, but also what companies are coming into the market that are doing what you're doing, the advantage that they're bringing in, the strategic advantage, and how can you become better? Maybe get a certification, maybe learn, right now, for example, let's take COVID. COVID pushed a lot of companies into the forefront of modern selling. So now it's virtual selling. So if you're not comfortable being on screen and you need to kind of brush up on that, there's a lot of platforms right now that are teaching, you know, how to sell through virtual meetings, how to prospect virtually. If you don't know how to do that, guess what? Here's an opportunity for you to learn. So you're staying abreast, you're changing with the times. So I think I'm always a student of sales and of learning. And I've been learning, you know, modern selling. I've been learning how to sell through the screen, how to create videos for prospects. And that's something I didn't used to necessarily do, but I learned that this is super important. So I started, learning how to do that. Of course, you may say it's a little bit of an advantage that Julia has because I created courses and I, you know, use the camera and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I'm teaching others how to do the same thing, different clients how to do this as well. So those are the top three things that I would focus on. There's a lot of different things that you can focus on too, but try to look for the things that help you get better and that give you that edge to become even a stronger salesperson, saleswoman.
So number one is resilience. Number two is positive mindset, being happy within yourself. And number three, being a student. You should always be a student to learn, to update, not only your product, what is around is happening, right?
Right. Be an expert. Exactly.
Yeah. And as I see, you also works with B2B sales and entrepreneurs, right? So my question is, if you want to work with an entrepreneur, what is a prerequisite you see to choose a right entrepreneur for you?
So I'm going to go back to basics, you know, sales 101. Qualifying goes both ways. It doesn't just go with, you know, you're qualified, the company's qualifying you to see if you would be a good vendor or a good, you know, person for them to contract, but you're also qualifying who you're going to be doing business with. So with the entrepreneurs, before I engage in a conversation with them, I qualify them by having fill out a very detailed questionnaire around, you know, how long they've been in business, what is their current income, what are they, where do they want to take their business, what have they tried before, have they hired somebody in the past, what's been their experience, I want to understand where they're at. I want to get little mini commitments in terms of time. Of Anthony Iannarino, who's this incredible sales trainer, has a ton of books. One of them that I highly recommend, which is The Lost Art of Closing. And he details really well in his book how to get commitments upfront from the clients. You know, their time commitment, money commitment, change commitment. Are they open to change to see a different result? So I think the important thing, without going too into the weeds of it, is to understand where is this person, this entrepreneur prospect at? Are they willing to invest, to make a change? Are they willing to invest time? Are they willing to invest money? Are they open to the possibility of doing things differently to see results? And if they're giving me green light, meaning like they're answering things in a very open mindset, that makes me comfortable that they're going to be also open to my methodology. If they say, well, you know, from 1 to 10, I'm probably a 5 in how much I would like to invest money, how much I would like to invest time, that tells me that person's not ready to work with me. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So I have to make sure that I'm qualifying them. Also, in addition to having a questionnaire before we jump on a meeting, a Zoom meeting like this, you know, I have to make sure that my messaging and my marketing and my copy is actually pulling in people that I want to work with. people that are ready to go to the next level. If you're starting out, or maybe if you're not starting out, but you don't have the desire to change, we're not going to be a match.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's important to continue to qualify and be polarizing in your marketing. Polarizing meaning that you are really, really pushing back the people that don't agree with you, and you're pulling in the people that say, yes, I want to work with her. She's speaking my language. I like what she has to say. And to do that, you have to have an opinion on things and not be afraid to share that opinion, so that people that really resonate with you follow you and want to have interaction with you and potentially work with you.
Okay. So polarization is so much important, right? Whether they're coming, aligning well, right? Okay. Then my next question is like, okay, now you have the client, okay? Mm-hmm. So what is the marketing strategies? Like, how do you scale up the business? Just some ideas for us.
So I want to preface this by saying that there's so many different strategies depending on the type of company or the type of business that you have. So what I'm going to share is very general, right? I recommend working with somebody directly to help them build a customizable plan for them. But one of the things that you need to focus on is if you're going to be scaling, so you have to have built an infrastructure on your marketing piece, mainly your go to market strategy. What do you have currently that's working? What do you have that is not working? And what can we build on that from the pieces that are working? So it's important to understand if my marketing is actually attracting the right clients, but I'm not getting enough of them. Okay, so that is working. How can we create marketing campaigns that duplicate that create much more awareness? For example, if your ideal clients are on LinkedIn, right? You want to make sure that if you're getting LinkedIn responses, but not enough, so that's an indicator of something that is working. So what we need to do is put together a marketing strategy. You know, how are you pumping content? Are you inviting people to gated content? So for example, for the ones that don't know what gated content is, it could be like, hey, put in your email here and we'll send you a checklist around, you know, the things that you help people with. So they get value off of getting their email, and you're building an email list of people so that you can continue to nurture them. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is, you know, what is your business and how are these people finding you? Do you do virtual events? Do you do in-person events are starting, but that could be like a lead generator where you're getting more people. So that should be something that you're concentrating on. If you are building a new service, for example, well, we need to understand who is buying the service. How can we build awareness for the service, and how can we attract, right? The main things that I teach, especially with entrepreneurs, is a three pillar methodology. The first pillar is we have to build your entire marketing, your messaging, your copy, your qualification. So everything goes in that bucket. The second would be, what is your actual enrollment conversation? What is your sales process? How do you take them from the top of the funnel, meaning they're just building awareness, to actually wanting to be your client? So that has to be very important, so that when you are talking to them, you're highlighting what you do in a very simple way that makes them feel like, this is exactly what I need to either get the results that I want, remove the struggles that I'm facing currently, and be on my way. And then the last piece would be your offers. But, you know, the offers should be something that is a must-have, not a nice-to-have. So what are you including in those offers that makes it irresistible for your ideal buyer? And again, it's almost like a rinse and repeat, and a lot of tweaking and a lot of testing. You're always testing what's working, and you're removing the things that are not working, so that you can, you know, scale from that standpoint. But remember, you know, what business you're in. Some things will work, some things won't, depending on if you're doing an online business, if you're doing a B2C, you know, business to consumer or business to business. So it's really important to understand what are the needs that your particular business as an entrepreneur requires, and who can help you achieve those needs.
Okay, that is wonderful. Two things I want, just to one line answer, like why a business fails, why business success. the major reason.
The why business fails?
And why some business really doing great?
Why business is doing great? They have ton of consumers, happy customers. You know, they're relevant. They have created something that people need. They provide great service. They provide something that is of use, of value. And another company that is failing, there's so many different things that could be happening. They probably have a bad product, or they have bad customer service, or they don't take care of their clients. There's so many different things that could be happening. It's not just one singular thing. So it's important to understand what is my buyer saying about my product? Are they happy? Are they raving fans where they're sharing with everybody about how great of an experience they had with me? Are they buying once and never buying again? You know, there has to be also, you know, one of the great things is serving your clients. When you send out a survey, when you actually have communication with them, you know, they can directly say and be very unapologetic, like, I love your product, but your customer service is just terrible. So that's something that you need to fix. Or, I didn't like your product. I like you, but your product sucked. Oh my God. Well, tell me about it. How can I make it better? So I think there always has to be that's such an open-ended question, because it could be so many different things that are failing and so many different things that are really good. You know, let's take Amazon, for example. You know, it's a huge company. There's a lot of things that Amazon is doing right? They're getting your products really quickly. They are, you know, they're super responsive. Do you always get what you want exactly how you want it? No, but they're really, really good at making things right. So when they do something that is not, you know, it doesn't leave you feeling great about the company, but they respond super well, then that builds trust. That makes you want to, okay, I'll give them a second chance. But if Amazon, let's say, had a great delivery service, but a lot of their products sucked and they didn't do anything about it, they would be losing a lot of market share, because they're not fixing that is keeping clients to come back. So the first thing is stay close to your clients, stay close to your customers, you know, them, making sure that they are happy with you, either with the product, with your service, with the way that you're delivering things. And that applies to every industry. It doesn't matter what you do. Those are very fundamental things that have to be working.
And what is your daily habits which you follow, which you can say others to follow?
Yeah. So I think it's very important. You know, when you're in sales, it's a very high demanding job. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's not a 9 to 5 where 5, you know, rolls around and you're done. Emails come in. So I think it's super important to manage your mindset very well, very early. And think about the things that center you. You know, for me, is faith, is really having a quiet moment in my morning and looking at what are the blessings in my life and what are the things that I'm going to go out to achieve, and having that prayer time. Another thing that's super important to me is exercising, because if I don't exercise, if I don't feel good, I don't perform well. That's just bottom line. So those are things that are non-negotiable for me. And then also, you know, having mindfulness. And mindfulness, you know, it can mean so many things for so different people. You know, do little things that make you happy, that make you relax, that make you feel good. It could be yoga. It could be putting on a mindful app and just relaxing your mind, because you're going to be doing so much in the day. You need to prep your mind to be ready for that. And addressing things that maybe could be, you know, bugging you. If you had a conversation with your spouse or your significant other and it didn't go well, kind of resolve those things, kind of give it to faith or whoever you believe in to make yourself, you know, kind of get it out of your mind, and just have a gratitude, habit of, if things are not moving, let's say, fast enough for you, be gracious and grateful for the things that are happening for you, as little as that may seem, and it becomes a habit. So I think it's not only important to have physical fitness, but have mind, you know, mental and faith fitness, so that everything is working together.
I totally agree. Yeah. Especially in sales, you should have a calm mind to handle different mindset of a customer, right?
Yes, because it could be, I think you've hit on something super important. Not everybody's like you. People have different temperaments, different ways of operating. You know, some people can be controlling. Some people may need a little bit of nudge to move them ahead. And you need to hold space for them. And in order for you to do that, you need to have space for yourself so that you are keeping calm. So I think that's super important to acknowledge and to, you know, to talk about.
What do you think the women, why there are very less women in sales now?
Well, gosh, I've been in environments where I may be the only woman in the room, or there may be like three or four women in a sea of 100 men. You know, I wish there were more women. And I think it's because it could be two things. One, the companies are not making that a focus. They're not bringing in more diversity. They're not, you know, the leadership is not really making a push for that diverse of a sales force in their company, which I think it's a loss. But women should really, really be looking at, if they're going to be working for a company, what companies are celebrating those values? What companies are looking for that, as opposed to companies that are not? You know, slowly but surely we're making a shift. But I think that it's because it's been, you know, depending on where you live in the world, there's parts of the world where the women are still the traditional stay-at-home children than, for instance, on the Western part of the world. And slowly we're making a shift. Companies have a lot to do with it. And also it could be that we as women want to see another woman like us doing the job so that we feel that we're not the only ones. When I started, I didn't have a choice. I was just like, I need a job. But I would have loved to have seen more women, you know, in those positions so that I could share some of my personal struggles that are different from men.
Yeah.
So I think that there's also maybe even a negative connotation of being in sales, that you're just outside of your home and you have to be dealing with people. And I think women are incredible salespeople, incredible, even if they don't think that, because connection, I started this conversation by saying that connection is super important and women are natural connectors. I mean, you don't have to know each other to start a conversation, to really connect with the individual. We're natural at being, you know, vulnerable and empathetic. Yeah. And that's so key to humanize your conversation, to humanize what you're doing. It's not just the job, it's you're helping people. So, I mean, I wish there were more women in sales. I think that as time goes on, we will see more and more jobs growing and growing their sales force to include women. But that's something that if you're new to sales, you want to vet out companies that actually have a diverse board of directors, that have a diverse C-suite. You know, the executives are also made up of women, not just men, you know, because that's going to tell you what kind of culture you're stepping into.
Yeah, that's true. I think even the organization also should come forward, you know, to offer affordable job, equal salary. I think all these are very important for women coming into sales. Not only for
I mean, equal salary, what I have to say with that is women need to also know that they can negotiate. This is one thing, I don't know where I got this from, to be honest, but in every single job that I had, I always made more, always.
Wow.
I would always ask for more than I thought I could make. I would always, I mean, I think that if you're not looking out for you, the company is not looking out for you. The company looks out for you to a certain degree, but it's up to you to excel. So men, you know, women and men are socialized differently. Women are taught to be modest, to be the peacemaker, to, you know, to take what is given to them, right? And men are taught to fight for what they want, to go out there and to do. So we need to change the conversation. From I've been known to negotiate and to really look at, okay, well, I want this, I want that. How can we negotiate? If you can't give me this, how about a day off on this day? How about, like, because I always knew that I needed to provide an opportunity for my sibling. So mm-hmm. I was doing it already. And it has helped me now that my siblings are older and they don't need me. It has helped me keep that habit going and move and really think about. There was one company that I changed the incentive plan. It took me a year and a half to do it, but I did it because I wanted to make more money. Okay. And once they shipped it for everybody. But wow. I think, you know, when I share with intimate people in my circle what I was going to do, they laughed at me. They're like, Julia, you'll never get it done. And I said, well, I'm never going to get it done if I have that attitude. So let me see what I can get done. And persistence, right? Being resilient. It took me 18 months. But then I made almost double what I used to make before. And it didn't have a cap. So I continued to earn more and more as years went on.
Wow, that's a great achievement. I think many women I've seen, like they think that if company knows me well, if I'm capable of getting more, they will come and give it to me. Like no. I don't need to ask.
You're not in school. You think that the teacher is going to see, oh, I'm being a good student. I'm going to get a star, or I'm going to get an A or a 10, whatever they're going to see me. It does not work that way, ladies. There's a saying, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. So if you're not negotiating more, and if you're not looking after yourself, nobody's looking after yourself. And I'm not blaming anybody because that's how we're raised. Yeah. But if you think that they're going to look at me and they're going to appreciate me. No, you're not in school. Remember that. You're outside, so you have the ability to earn more, but you also, what I would recommend you do when you ask for a raise is this. Have stats. What have you been doing to move the company forward? What have you been doing to earn the company more money on their bottom line? How have you been contributing to moving, the goals forward? It's important for you to understand what is your manager's goal. So that your manager can be more successful. And in turn, you become more successful because he's going to give you or she's going to give you what you need. So it's important to understand what is the company's overall vision for the future? What are we achieving in the next 3 years? What are the goals for everybody? How can I be different? What can I bring to the table? So I'll share with you when I had to wait 18 months, the first time that I came, I just had a lot of passion. My manager knew what I was doing, but he had to come up to a committee. The committee didn't know me. The committee didn't know anything about me. The committee was going to look at a blank piece of paper and see my stats. So I had to provide an analytical data-based reason why, but also the other side, which would be provided by my manager, who would be my champion on moving us forward. So that's why it took a long time because I wasn't prepared the first time the way that he said, Julia, in order for me to help you, you're going to have to bring more stats, more data. And I was like, okay, back to the drawing board. I did that. But then he said, I'm sorry, we already passed the incentive plan. You are going to have to wait another 6 months. No problem. So then I collected more data. But then it happened because I stayed on it and I stayed on it and I learned that I can't just be passionate. I have to have data supporting that. And then you also have to understand what are you doing in order to move the company forward? What are you doing to contribute to the overall goal? What are you doing to become a more valuable asset to the company? Those things will help you get a yes.
That's a very, very good suggestion to all the ladies here. I think that is the biggest challenge everyone faces to, how to ask, what to ask. There is a way to, yes.
One thing I would say also is that don't wait for your review to come every 6 months or every eight, year. You set up that meeting with your manager. What is my career path look like? I think I deserve a raise and here's why. You're going to have to initiate those things. And let's say maybe you say, well, Julia, money's not necessarily, I'm making enough. Money's not necessarily what I'm looking for. I'm looking for other things. Great. You can negotiate working from home. Now it's probably not a problem. You can negotiate certain days off of the week. You can negotiate. I mean, there's other things that you can negotiate. It's not only about money, which money is a huge driver. But you need to also be thinking, what are other things that are more valuable to me that would make me feel better and more appreciated working there that I can bring to the table?
Okay.
But you need to initiate those things.
And you should prepare the data as well. Right?
Always prepare data. Always come with questions. Always start your conversation, you know, in a collaborative way. If you're asking, always try to share it in a way where it's like, how can we, you know, I'm looking for, let's say you're looking for $10,000 more or whatever that amount may be. Give them a range and let's say, how can we collaboratively come to an agreement? So they feel that they have a part in it and it's not like black and white. Like, if you don't give me this, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? So you want to make sure that it continues. You want to drive the conversation so it stays in a collaborative line as opposed to, you know, I want this. And if you don't give this to me, then I'm leaving or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And that puts them in a different disposition to want to help you.
I remember when I had the discussion, it's a general discussion with my boss. I mm-hmm. asked him to reach this level. I want to be here. What mm-hmm. I have to do so that I can reach it here. So he really, encouraged me on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Listed each and every topic. You have to do this. You have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. So I think that's also one of the things we can follow. Directly ask because, your boss is a better person to tell you where, climb up.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
And just asking for feedback around, how have you seen me grow? What are the areas that I need to, become better in? That I can become more proficient so that they see that you're also open to feedback, you're opening to bettering yourself, and it's a give and take. They give you that, you also bring something to the table that they're happy with in terms of what they're recommending you do.
Yeah. See, ultimately, what is the outcome the company wants you mm-hmm. to make? If you fulfill the outcome, I think it is very easy for you to negotiate. Right.
Oh, super. Yeah, because they're getting, that's why I'm saying it's important for you to understand what is your manager's goal? What is the overall goal of the company? Because if they see you as a partner in that goal, you're not just someone that wants more. You're someone that wants to partake in getting them there.
Mm.
And they want you happy. So that's a great way to have a collaborative conversation.
Yeah. And your advice to women in sales?
For what, what specifically? Advice as to if they're starting out or?
If a girl wants to come into sales, what is your advice?
So at the beginning of the conversation, if you're just joining, I would recommend you hear it because I gave you three really great ways to look at it. But one thing that I would be super, that I would change it just a little bit is if you're coming into sales, I said this before, you want to make sure that you are joining a corporation, an entity, a company that is going to support you, that values you, that sees you as an asset to them. Because if you're coming into a company that all you see is men and they're really not willing to change, you're not going to be very happy. I mean, you're probably going to work really hard, of course, but right now it's about looking where you're celebrated, where you're celebrating and not tolerated. You know, Cynthia Barnes taught me that. And I think that's so important.
I didn't have quotes. Right?
Yeah. So that is super important. The second thing is, look for companies also. So look for companies that excite you. I always look for three things, companies that are, innovative, technology wise, in their industry. It doesn't have to be a tech company necessarily, but they have to be innovative in their space, There has to be a leader in what they do, because that keeps me excited of, you know, representing or being with them. The second thing is they have to have an incredible solution, a product that you yourself would buy, that you would recommend to your family members, that you feel that, because when you're talking to people about it, you want to feel happy and energetic and passionate about the things that you're showcasing, because it's something that's going to do them good. So that has to be a truth for you. You're not going to feel the same way if you're selling something that's not very good. You're not going to feel enthusiastic to sell it. And the last piece is have fun. So look for a company that's fun for you to work at. Let's say that you like, you know, space engineering, and they need a rep to sell, you know, a part of something, right? Be, you know, go to the things that you enjoy. So I enjoy financial services. You know, I think it's super important for people to have, to leave a legacy. I think it's, you know, so I have a personal connection with that. But if I had a personal connection, I think to something completely different, to the oil industry or to the, you know, whatever industry, energy industry, well, I have a, you know, you would have a personal story about that or something. It just has to be something that makes you passionate, excited, that lights you up. Because again, yeah, this is you're using your time, your youth in building this career. So you, why not have fun with it, right? Why not do something that is fun for you to also, you know, work at? And then I would say the same thing that I said at the beginning: resiliency, positivity, and being an expert in your field is pivotal. Doesn't matter what kind of industry you're going to, it's going to require all that in order to stay for the long game, to stay for the long run, and to be, you know, successful in it. Yeah. I think that's what I would recommend. Right now there's so much opportunity, especially online, especially like in the tech sector, right? And the biotech sector as well, in the, you know, financial fintech. I mean, there's so much opportunity. It just depends what you like, what you want to do, and just find those companies that are committed to diversity, that are committed to developing you as a saleswoman, they want to help you, you know, achieve the goals that you have for yourself.
Yeah. I just remember, if you do not convince the product or service what you're selling, you'll not be able to sell to others, right? So you should be passionate so much whatever you're selling. Otherwise,
selling is a transfer of emotion. I'm transferring enthusiasm. I'm transferring certainty. I'm transferring trust. I'm transferring, if you get from me, I hope you like it, you're like, no, I don't want this, because you don't like what you're feeling, right? What I'm making you feel. So it's super important that you feel really good, and that you believe, and that you believe that you're the better product in your industry out of all the other ones in your field. That's important too, right? Because we want to represent the best. Mm-hmm. I do. So I think that's, there's nothing wrong, you know, and also make sure that you're getting paid a pretty penny, because you're out there, you know, making this happen. So don't be shy about your earning potential either.
I read your profile. It says sales makes the economy go round.
Yes. When you sell, everybody wins. People get jobs. People obtain products and services that they need. I believe in that. I think that, you know, sales is for any company. If you don't have sales, you don't have a product. You don't have a business. You know, it's so important. So your sales force is essentially, you know, the blood pumping through your company. They're making, you know, the goals happen. So they're super important. And it's something that you're doing for people, not to people.
See, and not only they make good money to the company, as well as the highly paid professional sales, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you're making more than your manager. A lot of times you're making more than your manager. No,
especially the sales, to HR or accounts, finance, they get highly paid. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes, very, very agreed. I mean, they're making, you know, multiple six figures into the seven figures range. And I mean, It depends on the products and services that you're selling. It depends on the scale that you're selling. The first thing that I would recommend is go into something you love. Go into something that you have fun in. Because if you're selling something you hate, it's not good for you. Right? So you know, if you don't like selling funeral services, don't go into that. No. You know, but if you love selling funeral services, then go into something like that. But make sure that what you're doing is giving you, you know, the income, the lifestyle that you want, the growth for your career, the pace that where you're going at. You know, some sales cycles are longer. They're different. Some are faster and furious. And, you know, check out all those kind of things. And sometimes that just comes with experience. You work in so many different ones that you sit on the ones that, you know, you tend to have a preference on the ones that you like. And that's just experience and trying different things. So if you're feeling like, oh my God, I don't know what I like, I don't know what I would like to do, I would just say narrow it down. Try to couple. You'll learn pretty quickly which ones you like and which ones you don't like. So I
actually many sales, especially man, now they're in sales, like they come to sales because they didn't get the job anywhere else. I've heard from many of my friends.
What I would say about that is, you know, just like anything, there's a spectrum, meaning there's car salesmen who anybody off the street can do. I mean, not to be bad to them or anything, but it doesn't take a lot of intellect. It takes, you know, the desire to sell, but it doesn't take that a whole lot of intellect. And then there's other type of sales where it's much more intellectual. You have to have designations. You have to have schooling, or you have to have a lot of experience. So if you can't get a job anywhere else, I highly doubt you're going to get a job, you know, in a very sophisticated way of selling, because it's consultative. It's not just, oh, sell to anybody. So I would say it depends on the type of sell, what you're selling, what you're offering. There's a lower bar of entry, but it all depends. I mean, you're still going into the lowest entry so that you can build up your reputation and also build up your career. But I see sales as a very elevated profession because I also make it a point to engage in a very consultative way with my clients, you know, honoring them, making sure that the product is something that they need, not just because I want to make money, I'm selling something that, you know, is not beneficial to them. So, you know, I created a program called The Art of Feminine Selling, where, you know, I use qualification very, very heavily, so that you are talking to the right people, and it's not, you don't talk to everybody. So I think that there is a spectrum between great salespeople and average salespeople. And the income is also a very great indicator of that.
You know, I used to interact with my channel partners, like distributors who buy the product from us or sales. So many of them used to worry that they are unable to get a salesperson to the job. You know, because the passed out, like who will complete their degree, the passed out, what they think, they want to have a comfortable job, like with the AC, they just want to sit.
Yeah,
it's true. You know, literally my distributors were said, like, I'm not getting a good salesperson. Nobody wants to come into sales. They think that, you know, in a, like they have to roam around, they have to travel. It's so tiring job. So they're not interested. Everybody prefers this IT, you know, being in the office, sitting.
Not me. I think it's definitely not for everybody, because it is very high stress. But it's also very high reward, you know. So that's why you have to understand the things that you like and the things that you don't like. And if you don't like, you know, talking to people, you don't like traveling, you're not going to like sales. So it's important to know yourself. What is it, the things that you like? But for the person that is super personable, that loves, you know, making a difference for people, sales, it could be a very, very rewarding career for you and lucrative at the same time.
I agree. And like, what do you think is your secrets of success?
My secret of success, I'm just very resilient. I don't necessarily, I mean, it's very hard if I want to achieve something that anything is going to get in my way. I'm just going to go and go and go and go and go and go. I won't stop, because talent is great, but consistency is better. You can have all the talent you want, but if you're not consistent and you're not disciplined, it's not going to get you very far. It'll get you in the door because if you have talent.
Yeah.
But if you don't stay in and day out, I rather work very hard to achieve what I want to achieve. It may take me longer, but I know I will get there. Mm. So that's my secret, I think, to my success.
I've heard one of these speech. I just relate to that. What they say is, even though you're not if you want to be a great singer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you do not have that intelligence to be a great singer, but still you can beat the greatest singer by being consistently learning about singing. You know, every day if you make an effort, at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if you make an effort to learn the skill, mm-hmm. then you will be a greatest person in that particular mm-hmm. skill. Any skills you want to be expert, just learn the skill every day, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but it should be consistent. So consistent mm-hmm. wins the game.
Mm-hmm. Consistency. I mean, I understand. I mean, there's certain talents that are like, you know, having a beautiful voice, you know, that's a talent that's a gift that was, you know, given to you. And there are other types, but they're very far between that commitment, discipline, and consistency doesn't win. And 99% of the time, in my experience, that wins, because not a lot of people are willing to put in the effort. They just don't. And I've seen it. I feel that if I'm, you know, be a little bit behind, I will get there as long as I stay consistent.
And anyway, you talk about Art of Feminine Selling. I just know that you are the creator of that particular, you know, Art of Feminine Selling. What exactly it is about?
So the Art of Feminine Selling is consultative selling 101. It's really teaching women, you know, first and foremost, letting them know that they're incredible. They're connectors. They have, you know, natural vulnerability. They are empathetic. So it's really highlighting your innate strengths as a woman in how you can use them in a sales environment with clients to connect. And then there's a lot of tactical things, of course, understanding how to close, understanding how to have a conversation, you know, all those things that you need to understand in addition to the three pillars. And just more than anything, it's almost like permission to be a woman and to be in sales and to do it the way that you would do it, not how men would do it, but how you would do it as a woman, using those things that come very naturally to you, in addition to all the tactical and the strategy that it's important for you to know, and you're obviously being an expert. But it's more than anything, I mean, permission to be yourself, to use how you would connect to other people, and to be able to close business. It's really nothing. If a man wanted to take the course, for example, what he would say is, wow, so I'm learning everything I'm supposed to learn to close the deal. But also what I'm learning is the soft skills. It's the emotional intelligence piece. It's all these little nuances that women have it so well put together. And it's just highlighted in that way. So that's really what the essence of that methodology is about, is bringing out your strengths, celebrating them, and using them on the field.
Okay, that's great gift for a woman who really wants to learn sales.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And there's, if anybody wants to, I have a free gift, actually. I should have even told you before. If anybody wants, I put together this kind of checklist of things to look at, the 5 things never to say on a discovery call. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, a B2B sales, you can just shift it around to meet your audience. But if you go to giftfromjulia.com, and you'll get a download, and it basically gives you step by step how to do it, what to do instead if you're doing it. That's just something super easy that you can follow if anybody wanted something to continue the conversation.
Wow, that will be great. Okay, my last question is, like, you can suggest some of the books or a podcast which we all can learn.
Yeah. So let's see. Of course, I'll mention a couple. One book that I really like because it continues to really reinforce why it's important to be positive is the Happiness Advantage. That's super important. It gives you, for anybody that likes stats and data, it's full of data. It's from a professor at Harvard, and it's just super digestible. And it talks about sales and it talks about other stuff. Really, really neat. One of my go-to books for sales is The Lost Art of Closing by Anthony Anarino. I think I don't care if you're an entrepreneur, B2B, that's a very, very good book. Super digestible. And I like his style. He's super direct. I feel like I'm in a meeting with him. He's like right next to me. It's that good. And there's another book that I like called Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. He's been called the godfather of influence, and sales is influence. If you don't know how to influence somebody, if you don't know how to influence your kids to make their bed, if you don't know how to influence your spouse to go to this restaurant, you know, you have to learn how to do that. And to influence someone in sales, assuming it's a good thing for them, it's a piece that you need. You need to know how to be compelling. You need to know, you know, how to influence, how to talk to people that they want to continue to listen to you. So that's going to be a great book for that. And there's two podcasts that I recommend. Of course, Cynthia Barnes, you know, one of my mentors, came out with a podcast recently, and it's called Unstoppable by Cynthia Barnes. Highly, highly recommend. She interviews women in sales on high positions, all positions, you know, in terms of field, inside, outside, and stuff like that. And then the other one is another mentor of mine. His name is Mario Martinez Jr. And his podcast is the Modern Sales Podcast. I think those two combined are incredible because it's going to give you a lot of real, you know, world knowledge on what women in sales are going through and what are the trends that are working, not working, and stuff like that between both of them. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay, great. I'm going to listen to that. Cynthia's anyway, I'm listening. The other one I've
heard. Cynthia, Unstoppable by Cynthia Barnes.
So that's all the talk show. So I hope you had a good time and really a lot of learnings. I hope all the women here and other sales men, everybody are enjoying watching your show and learning a lot of things. Mainly business, sales, it's all the journal, I think. It's a great learning. Thank you so much, Julia.
Well, no, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share and to be of service to your audience and to your community. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice meeting you. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Sell Like Her podcast. Do subscribe and share it so that it reaches the maximum women to get benefit by listening to successful women's stories. Let's join together and support each other to change the face of sales. Meet you in the next episode. Until then, bye. Take care.